Banks are safe. There's enough cash in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. Don't you?
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I had been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love. Don't you? On this trend has been margin called.
The view was a hook, trust to your idols, now they got you shook. Believe in the crooks, hell of a saint. Are they cooking the books? Save up a decade, now lost in a day. Another new M Rogers getting away. Bigger the bank, bigger ripple effect. When it blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass, inside the success. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? At its risk with a bit heavy net. Made from your savings and 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialized losses while reaping the gain. First to fall in this reckless war. Cause you're just a pawn in the cotillion this game.
Money to open for the show. Pay for the crowd. Pay for the thrill. Pay for the media to lie to our face. Distort the truth so we repeat our mistakes. Sell us the dream that never delivers. While raking fees and clipping the tickets. Siphoning funds from the mathematics. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingled with risks so nobody knows. How far it'll go to a damaged collateral. Another excuse for oppressive control. When government kept you as part of the play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help but nobody came. When bailouts were pawns and completed.
Money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud as schemes get more complex and fallible humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked and our economies are largely X.
What would happen? We take our money out of its systems. Why protest our labor when we get pulled out of capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the cotillion effects with the will of free markets.
Step one.
Give an independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step two.
Move a savings into that system so no one can ever touch it.
Step three.
Earn, save, spend, trade. All activities move to this way. We don't own money. Everything changed. We no longer positive until you
get. Money was tied by design. Earned by work. Earned with time. Earning a larger piece of pie. For it yours to verify. Money is data of your own wealth. That's your scorn of politicians. Cover and capturing part of the place and we reap the value at the end of the day.
So we can move value without being citizens. Move up from gambling savings. Move up from all the politics. Move on to the elevated internet.
So we don't have the trust to be what they say. So freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can get to the chill of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door and enter the game.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Trump Pump Wednesday. I am your host, Coleman, and this is episode 57 of the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces. Man, time is flying by. In case you were kind of living in a hole last night from a different country that doesn't have TV or cable, Trump won. Trump will be the 47th president of the United States. And so we will be spending some time talking about this over today's show. But before we start jumping into everything, I want to give a couple quick shout outs to people in the audience. I see we have the lovely Lisa Huff in the audience. Good morning, ma'am. Eomar Hunter, Death and Bitcoin, Allison, BitPetro AC, Doc, Crystal, Chivas, and everybody else who's still joining us. Good morning, everybody. How was your evening last night, Jordan?
That was fantastic. I got to hang out with you and Mike and Shane and Eomar for a little while and talk about what was going on. It was a great time.
It was a lot of fun. And in case y'all didn't catch it, we had the Bitcoin Veterans video podcast last night. So Shane and Mike were hosting it, And then we had Nico from Simply Bitcoin join us first. Jordan came on, myself included. And then we had Sippy Cup, aka Jeff, join us as well. So it was pretty fun. It was a good time. We just drank a whole bunch and talked politics and kind of gave the results as they were coming through. So it was really good. I hope nobody drank too much and is a little hungover this morning. But Trump won. I didn't think we'd get the election results in this quick. So I'm a little bit surprised with that. But overall, it was good. And now I don't think we can be we can't relent at all. We need to hold his feet to the fire. He had a lot of promises, and promises are cheap if you're not going to keep them. So I think that's the next push, is we need to make sure that everybody's going to make sure he does what he does. And first thing, free Ross. I see that trending a lot, and so I hope he holds on to that. But we have Bob Van Kirk and Bit Petra who joined the stage. So good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
While everyone's still refilling your bone broth or your coffee or tea, or if you're on the West Coast or you just partied a little too hard last night, still getting the gunk out of your eyes, I just want to make sure everyone understands the reason we do this show every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. And that's to ensure that we're able to go out and what we do and do what we did yesterday. And that's the right to our freedoms, our rights to voting, the rights to a free and fair election, the rights to assemble, the rights to free speech, all of that. We shouldn't take that for granted whatsoever. And we need to make sure we go out there and instruct everyone what the power of Bitcoin can do with a decentralized government. And we don't need a central authority dictating our lives. And I think that was pretty evident last night when we saw a really strong push in Pennsylvania from the Amish community. There was about 160,000 Amish that came out and voted. Sorry, 180,000 Amish that voted in Pennsylvania. And Trump won Pennsylvania with 165,000. And so I really believe that that huge push from the Amish community was because of government interference in how they do things when they shut down one of the raw milk farms about last summer. So again, we're going to talk a lot about the election. We're going to talk a lot about price, talk a lot about what to expect in the coming months. So it's going to be a great show. So make sure you buckle in, refill your drinks, and let's start getting after it. So does anybody want to kick off first? Bob, Jordan, Bit Petro, you guys want to take the first topic, or do you want me to dive in?
Yeah, I just want to, I'm glad you already mentioned it, because I feel like, you know, we talked a lot about on the show last night, you know, we're kind of biased towards Trump and kind of gave the reasons why, but now that it's been called, I feel like it is now my job to be his biggest critic and make sure that he holds up his end of the bargain for kind of swaying some of the libertarians or the people in the middle that aren't, you know, maybe more independent or whatever. And freeing Ross is like number one. Like, I hope that paperwork is already drawn up so that day one, he just has to officially sign it or whatever. And, the next day, you know, Ross is back home. But then there's just a lot of other things, like making sure some of these cabinet positions get put in that he's kind of at least hinted towards is going to happen. And the fact that they won the Senate, there should be no issue with that. So it's kind of like crunch time. Like, did you actually learn anything, from your 4 years while you were in and then 4 years while you were out? What have you actually learned, and what promises are you going to keep? Like, that's, I think now is the biggest time to like get ready to be a critic for him. But then also like be prepared. There's plenty of time from now until inauguration day when other nefarious games could be played. So I wouldn't let your guard down and think like, you know, freedom just won. You know, that's a fight that'll never end.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important that we keep pushing on with this, because I think our attention spans are just so short. But we have to make sure, again, promises made promises have to be kept. And so I really hope that there's continued push. And I'm not saying that he's not going to try and keep him. But again, make sure that he follows through with it. Because it's really easy and it's cheap to say a lot of things, but to follow through, is a completely different story. So, I'm trying to bring Ilmar up here on the stage, but for some reason it's not letting him come up. So you might have to just leave Ilmar and come back on. This does not let me bring you up here. But good morning, Lisa. How are you doing today, ma'am?
Good morning, guys. Well, I mean, how, you know, we're Bitcoiners, and beyond being Bitcoiners, I think we're freedom advocates. So I am wonderful. I was hugely worried over the last few weeks that this election would somehow be corrupted, but freedom rang true, and truth is now free. So here we are. I'm thrilled. I actually went to bed. I didn't stay up to watch it. Ella called me at like 1 a.m. or something, and she called me, and there was like fireworks happening outside my window at the exact same time. So it was really pretty funny. She's 1,800 miles away from me, and yet there were fireworks in my neighborhood literally at the same moment in the middle of the night. So I guess maybe that's when it finally was announced. But I'm amazing. Thank you for bringing me on stage. Go Bitcoin Veterans. Your show was awesome. I did watch your Bitcoin Veterans for quite a while last night. That was a really good episode. I liked how you kept changing the guests.
Well, thank you. And it was kind of last minute trying to bring everybody on. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad you all enjoyed it. I think Shane was saying we had like 1,600 people tuning in live. So that's just, it's amazing.
I think we got up to almost 1,900. It was pretty all-time high for Bitcoin Veterans, all-time high for Bitcoin last night. Man, it was a good time all around.
Yeah, we broke, what was the high? I think last night, just after Trump, I think it breached 75,400 is what I'm showing. So it's really, really big. And I think the price is just going to continue to take off. So one of the things I definitely wanted to mention were some of the talking points Trump had made during his, during Nashville at the conference. And so one of the things he said first was free Ross day one. So I think we can all agree that should be taking place. And if Biden really wanted to, he can kind of give Trump the middle finger and just take care of it now. It wouldn't cost him anything. It would put him in good grace, and it would finish his presidency out on a positive note.
Your cat is not happy about something.
The cat is not happy that, yeah.
Your cat is mourning Gary Gensler's looking for a job.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. She's siding with Gary Gensler. I just lost my track. That was the next thing he said he wanted to do on day one, was fire Gary Gensler. And so there's speculation on who he wants to put in there. I've seen Hester Price's name thrown around this morning. So she's really pro-industry. I don't want to say pro-crypto, even though she is, so we'll just call it pro-industry. But she's known as the crypto mom. And so I think she'll still be a good fit. The other thing I want to spend some time on, and Lisa, I know this is right up your wheelhouse, is he said he wanted to make the USA a Bitcoin mining hub. And so Trump said that he wants to push for more energy with lower prices. And this would cause a huge explosion in the growth of the miners in the industry, just because if we want to get increase our domestic energy supply and achieve energy independence, hooking up these miners to help stabilize the grid, it's just kind of a no-brainer. And when he sat down with Riot and CleanSpark and TerraWolf during the summer, I'm sure that they were putting this little bug in his ear and showing him the benefits of what these miners can do. So Lisa, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. And before you start, I want to say good morning to Ella Huff. If you want to come join the stage, I'd love to have you up here.
Good morning, Ella Huff. Yeah, Coleman, this is kind of a sensitive issue, I think. and maybe I'll, because it's your show, I'm just going to kind of speak my truth on this, but, you know, I'm not quite sure Trump yet realizes that onshore Bitcoin mining is directly correlated to our national security, right? We all talk about grid flexibility, building out an energy infrastructure, improving our grid, right? Like, okay, fine. Yes. But the next step of that is that, you know, the ability for us to access the Bitcoin network, the ability for us to secure any sort of information packets to any place on Earth will only come from our ability to control our own hash rate. And so we must have Bitcoin miners onshore. To own Bitcoin is great, right? I fully agree we should. I think we all agree we should. It's absolute travesty what they've done to the strategic petroleum reserves of the U.S. That should not be a trading vehicle for whoever egotistical maniac has the power over that. It should be a reserve for war times and you know, not something that they declare to be an arbitrary emergency. So hash rate must be established and maintained. And I really think that the government should issue, you know, incentives for the construction of hash rate in America. I think it is on the margin, not useful that we have paid for this whole Inflation Reduction Act and the, we've incentivized all the wind and the solar and the renewables. I am absolutely anti-climate zealot because I think it is my assumption and, would love to be proved wrong, but I mean, I don't know how many of those folks are engineers. I don't know how many of those folks actually know how energy grids, energy production, energy markets work. I would actually go so far as to say I'm not sure most of them can put a fitted sheet on a bed. I think we can all agree we want a clean climate. So setting the, you know, we all want clean water without fluoride and clean air aside. Let's just all agree we all want that. That'd be great. But you've got industry developing around the world. You have China that's building like one coal plant a week, and all we do is close ours, which have shown drastic negative impacts to American citizens, like the PJM, the region in, kind of in the middle of the country, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, Data Center Alley. Their prices for power have done a 10x. And a lot of folks are blaming the data centers, but when you really look beyond that, it's the fact that they've closed 20 coal plants since the year 2000 in that area. So coal is baseload fuel. But going back to hash rate, you know, I think that the miners are, it will be interesting to see which direction that our miners take, whether or not they follow the, shiny, glittery, rhinestone cowboy, let's all go build AI, HPC facilities because we can, you know, it might be more short-term accretive. You know, those large, technology companies can pay whatever the market rate is, right? It's multiples of what the Bitcoin miners, can really pay for energy. But so I'm making a point here. This, I'll put a bow on this. I mean, this is why I really think that the security of our country lies within our energy companies, lies within our existing infrastructure and perhaps new infrastructure. But there is so much room to go and build out hash rate, you know, out on, the well pads, right? Where natural gas comes up in gas processing plants, in all midstream assets, at generation assets, at refineries. This is where we can be standing up hash rate immediately. And those folks really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, for them to engage with these HPCs, for consistency, reliability. This is just me speaking, but I don't believe that, you know, 1 megawatt at a time is really what the, Amazons of the world are looking for. I think they're probably looking, they probably, if they could buy 1,000 megawatts at a time, they would. Certainly they'll need it. But building out energy infrastructure is a really careful topic that we need to really understand, because what I believe our absolute effort should be directed towards first, is building out hash rate onshore. Yes, we must support energy infrastructure to support innovation. Otherwise, we will just fall behind as a nation. And so, you know, again, like, I think that the answer exists, as it always has. National security is a direct function of energy infrastructure and the energy companies, the people that have, you know, really raised capital, taken risk to go out to make magic happen, so that every morning when I wake up and I turn my espresso machine on, that thing cranks out amazing, you know, beautiful black liquid. That is magic, right? And yet all we hear in the news when we talk about the energy companies is how bad they are and how they pollute the environment. And, you know, frankly, I hope that this new administration, we can really take a deeper look at what we're really after. What is the outcome that we need? And we must have hash rate onshore. If not, we will have no ability to participate in any sort of information transfer system of the future, whether that's a 5-year timeline, a 10-year timeline, I'm not sure. But Ella and I were having this conversation. One more point, and then I'll wrap this up. But
no, you're good. Ella, I was going to I had a follow-up question with you.
Okay. We were kind of talking about, like, what like really makes this evident, because Bitcoin still seems to be, you know, not really in the national conversation. I mean, I think, at least in my circle, people are really now eager to learn more about it, learn more about Bitcoin mining, and really have more of an understanding. But I wouldn't say it's an absolute, you know, moral imperative. I don't think it's a business imperative yet for folks. What changes that? And, you know, I have gone on record. I will go on record. I think that what changes that is when Russia or another one of these hugely energy rich countries, but I think it'll be Russia who's first, begins to price their natural resources in Bitcoin. There is no reason for Russia to price their natural gas resources, and they're the second largest producer in the world after the U.S. There's no reason for them to price it in the BRICS currency. They're certainly...
I got to jump in. They don't have to do that.
Yep. So,
the reason is they just have to point their generation assets and their gas assets to Bitcoin mining. And they are effectively doing that without having to ask anybody for anything or even make it public. So I believe the last 6 months of hash rate increase has probably been a sign of that happening, simply because.
Well, we know it has been, right? I mean, they came out and said, Russia came out and said they mined 1 out of every 5 Bitcoin in 2023. So we know that they're doing that, because we sanctioned them from sending resources into a dollarized market. But what I'm saying is that when they begin to only accept Bitcoin, right? Why do they want some other shit token from BRICS, the euro, the dollar? Why do they want that when they can have the most scarce asset on earth? And also, by the way, the most fungible asset on earth. You know, you're not going to trade your most precious resource for some crap token, which is any nation's fiat currency. You know, I have no idea why it is that we price gold in dollars when we can price gold in Bitcoin. Like, why would you trade the second most scarce asset on the earth?
There's a phenomenal discussion about this right now going. Safe put a podcast out where they basically tried to steel man the argument between U.S. dollar and Bitcoin. And I think that the argument against it was pretty solid, and it's that the realpolitik of the world is that, you know, having your own currency and being able to manipulate your currency against other currencies is the reason that they really have fiat as a method of control. And so as long as it's a method of control, they're going to be disincentivized to give up that level of control. And so the argument then becomes is how long is it before we, the people,
you know, take that level of control away from them by adopting it. And so it's not that I don't believe that they're going to be able to declare war on Bitcoin itself, as in they, because there's no more they. There's not like a unified party or system that can necessarily attack the network today. So today we're kind of shifting into this, okay, now it's a protocol, now it's a network, now everybody's going to adopt it slowly and then suddenly. And then that suddenly is going to be when, in my opinion, we start seeing serious moves to strategic reserves of Bitcoin. That, Lisa, I think is when we will probably see the point of energy being priced in Bitcoin globally rather than in the US per se. But that's simply because it's a better technology for doing settlement internationally. I don't think that that's going to be something that is going to be, you know, a partisan issue or anything like that. It's just going to be simply, it's cheaper and safer for me to transact $1.2 billion every day in, you know, 10-minute intervals than it is for me to do it trusting that I have a secured network that might or might not be, you know, compromised by a political decision. So ultimately,
so you do believe that ultimately, they will all price it and their energy in Bitcoin, correct? Because I thought at the beginning of your speech, you said
in a very long time. I'm working very hard to try to do that, but I'm working on it through things like, you know, trying to develop a way of settling at the pipeline through a meter that's wired directly to a Bitcoin node and able to settle, whether it be in dollar terms or in Bitcoin terms, with SCADA. I think that's probably the way to attack it, to where we begin to use Bitcoin as a unit of account rather than a settlement, rather than unit of account and settlement tool rather than a currency. And I think that might be the Trojan horse to get the energy complex to move into Bitcoin. But realistically, because we still live in a, the power levers of the world still are based around dollar trade and dollar debt. And as long as that continues, it's going to be very difficult for us to take a different approach. Now, individuals, I think, can, and individual companies, I think, can. And to Lisa's point, you know, I believe that the midstream assets of the world are probably the most incentivized to do this, simply because a lot of them have limitations due to capacity, where they cannot push any more oil or gas through the pipeline because it's overpressured. In those situations, all of that excess pressure could be generator that could, you know, produce electricity and mine Bitcoin. The reality is that a lot of these locations that are being labeled as AI centers are simply never going to be that. There's not the connectivity. There's not the reliability, redundancy, all the R's that Lisa was talking about. And so at the end of the day, Bitcoin fills this really interesting part of just consuming the excess, whether you have high-speed internet or not. Thanks to Elon, now that we have Starlink, that's no longer a limiting factor for Bitcoin miners. It's still a huge factor for an AI or a compute or a remote, you know, co-location facility. So I still see Bitcoin filling that role extremely well. To that end, Lisa, I would love your help in you know, kind of doubling down on what I'm doing with the petroleum clubs in Texas. Had a little bit of my fuel is running thin on that project, and I need to spice it up a little bit more. So you are the most eloquent amongst us Bitcoiners in that realm, and I would love your help with it.
So BitPetro, I agree with what you're saying up until 2 o'clock Central Time last night. And I think that's where your model, your timeline just had an extreme catalyst thrown into it. With the Trump presidency, with what he's wanting to do with domestic energy and how he's wanting to try and increase it and the people surrounding him, I think you just had a huge catalyst in the timeline of how quickly Bitcoin's going to start being incorporated to every single thing. The Republicans just won the Senate. So they're going to they're going to put someone new in the Senate Banking Committee. So Tim Scott will be in there, and then you'll have Senator Lummis as the Digital Assets Subcommittee. And they've both chaired the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve Bill. So that looks like it's going to get passed without any real pushback through the House and the Senate. And then Trump will sign it. And he's already said that they want to try and acquire about 5% of the total Bitcoin supply. So with that going on, you're now going to have every single country that can print money to buy Bitcoin. They will, but you're going to start seeing Russia, China, the Middle East completely turn on all of their Bitcoin miners and put this and direct their hash rate to finding or to acquiring Bitcoin. So again, I think you were right with your timeline until 2 o'clock last night, and I think it just got completely pushed up. And I think the next 6 to 12 months is going to be extremely crazy for this industry.
Ask you a question: what do you think is a bigger driver of cost going up? Do you think it's that they're going to start creating a strategic reserve, or is it that they're going to print money? Because for me, it is less important that there be a Bitcoin strategic reserve relative to the amount of money that they print, because the amount of money that they print is reflected worldwide. So it's not just the US that prints money, it's all governments that print money. And as long as that continues, then I think that's really the underlying factor that's going to drives Bitcoin number go up. I think that the strategic reserve side is just going to bring us much faster to the S curve, right? Like that adoption S curve. But ultimately, I mean, the way that we're seeing it develop out in the traditional markets, look, you got BlackRock's at 1%, MicroStrategy's at 1%, 5% doesn't seem like a very large number for a nation state. If these entities that cannot print their own money are doing it. So I do think that that's a huge factor. I just don't know if it's a bigger factor than another wave of money printing.
I think money printing, like fiscal stimulus into global economies, I think we can all agree that that increases the Bitcoin price. But I think you're underestimating the amount of hate that the other countries have for the United States. And if they have a chance to go ahead and have a leg up in the global financial system by acquiring more Bitcoin and doing it at a cheaper cost, if you have fiscal stimulus, which is going on, it's never going to stop. Didn't matter if Harris or Trump got elected. They're still going to print money. You're going to have China that's going to implement a huge stimulus. But all these other countries on top of that are going to start mining it. You're going to have the exponential growth.
It's going to be an arms race, basically. That's
yes.
If we get to the position where we're imminently going to implement a strategic reserve, it's going to, I could see it essentially turning into like an arms race for, you know, everybody running for Bitcoin. And you know, I think the energy rich countries will start or accelerate their mining, because that's a way for them to, you know, secure it without having to go to the market.
But again, that's a weird thing that you're saying, because if you have the ability to print your own money and buy, why would you displace your energy to do it? Why wouldn't you just print more money and buy?
Because that'll be because the printing money. All that does, if it number goes up because they print money, that's not really number going up. That's just correcting the imbalance of the influx of the money. But that's why I think a strategic reserve is more important for Bitcoin, because when the number goes up because of that, it's because of demand, because you have an increase in hash rate, you have an increase in mining, you have an increase in people wanting to buy this asset. So there's this difference of like, yes, if they print a bunch, number goes up, but that's just inflation. That's just correcting the imbalance in the balance sheet, because there's all so many more dollars floating around.
Printing to buy. We just posed the question of printing to buy as things are doing. So if that's the case, why would you waste your electricity?
In my mind, it's because of a couple things. Like first off, I think it'll be more noticeable if nation state just starts gobbling up Bitcoin off the market. Whereas, you know, we're looking at the hash rate and we're saying, oh, it looks like nation states are coming online and, you know, mining Bitcoin. So it gives them a little bit of deniability. Cause like, if you're in this game, right, like you want to be in it and stacking sats for as long as possible before anybody else knows, right? Because same thing, like I was just saying, like once the U.S. passes a bill on, acquiring a strategic reserve, it can trigger like an arms race for it. You know, everybody's going to be trying to buy it. So if you're Russia, you want to try to accumulate as much as you can. It's like how we, you know, you want to accumulate as much as you can without anybody else knowing. You know, you want to have some deniability so that you can keep stacking at a lower price while everybody else is trying to pass bills or do research or do all these other things. So I think that's one of the advantages of mining. And then on the other side of it, I don't know exactly in BitPetro, this is probably more in your wheelhouse, but, you know, if there's offsets from the sanctions and stuff on Russia, right? If they're, rather than like cause unemployment by shutting things down, they can just, you know, take that excess oil or natural gas that they don't have a market for and they can burn it and they can use that excess energy. You know, it's the same, like stranded energy thing we always talk about, but at a nation state level where they can take that and rather than lay people off and say, oh, like, and then cause that pain of, oh, this is what the war is costing us. I lost my job because there's no market for gas. They turn that and they use it to mine Bitcoin. And now there's actually more jobs because they're still mining and they are, you know, they're bringing, or they're still extracting gas and they're still, and then there's more jobs because they're mining, Bitcoin. So there's those, data centers and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of why, right? It gives them, and especially in the current like, global scenario, it gives them a way to maintain, jobs, earn Bitcoin in a more, inconspicuous manner. And, you know, they can still use that other tool of inflation when the time comes. But I think that's going to be like the, I think they're going to do it as slowly as they can, or as hidden as they can for as long as they can. And then once we pass a bill or something, then I think a lot of nations will start trying to grab it. So,
I don't think they're going to be so secretive after this morning. I think I really do believe that they're going to be coming out full swing and they don't really care if people know that they're mining it, at a nation state level. I think it really changed.
Wouldn't now be the time for another nation to do it between now and inauguration that there, you're going to have this gap of like, okay, we know where it's going, but we can front run it because the guy that wants to change these things isn't in power yet. So this is our chance to start gobbling up the resource.
Right. But they gain nothing by telling us they're doing it. Right. Like, so like you don't like, you know, if I'm trying to gobble it up, I'm not telling everybody about it. There's no incentive structure where it benefits them telling the world that they're doing it. So like,
well, I'm not saying that they tell anybody, but
yeah,
they start doing it.
I would imagine,
right?
They, like, I think Lisa said they have been doing it, right? Like, I would imagine they are doing it. I think that
they are.
I imagine they're mining. Yeah. I imagine they have models for like, how much can we buy without anybody really noticing? I'm sure they have all of this going on and I'm sure it's not just like Russia. I'm sure a lot of countries are doing it just because it's again, just hedging your bets. Doesn't mean necessarily that you're 100% on board, but it's like, hey, this is a maybe. This might happen.
Hey, Venezuela has been doing it for the longest time. I mean, they've basically converted all their missile silos into Bitcoin mines.
I want to give,
it's pretty crazy.
I want to give Lisa a chance. She's had her hand up for a while. So Lisa, please.
I totally forgot why I had my hand up. We got so off track.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. What was your question, Coleman? I should have let you ask your question. You remember?
At the beginning of all of this?
Well, yeah, I was like in rant and then you had a question and then I kept ranting.
I think BitPetro had a statement where he said that he didn't think that they were going to price, their oil or their commodities in Bitcoin. And so I was just trying to get clarification.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. And I really appreciate all the work that BitPetro has done. He has put in some blood, sweat and tears, in Texas to, you know, hello over here with the energy companies, to try to, you know, lead the horse to water. So really acknowledge that, but strongly take the other side that I really do think in the next year, we will see Russia start pricing commodities in Bitcoin. And if anybody else has said that before me, please, you know, shout out, send me a DM or whatever. But I'm just going to step right out into the firing line and say that I think that's what happens, because people that are in pain make change, take change and into their own hands, and they do it. In America, we're just not in enough pain to like make any drastic moves. We just, you know, frog boiling water, whatever the analogy is.
Yeah, but Lisa, the argument there that was what was being made was that they would not let anybody know, mine with their gas, because that gives them a strategic advantage to accumulate more without letting anybody know that that's what they're actually doing. So that's partly why I say that.
They have let people know. They came out and said they mined one out of every five in 2023. They've changed their laws effective November 1st. I mean,
did they say it as a nation though, or as like, there's a difference between saying like, we, the nation of like the government of Russia have mined one out of every five versus like, we, the Russian people have mined one out of five. I think there's a difference there. So, maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of like just my thoughts. Like it's different if like the nation is actually saying like, we are contributing resources towards it versus like, you know, entrepreneurs in Russia are contributing resources towards it.
Who controls?
Is there that much of a difference? Is there that much of a difference in Russia?
Not really, especially with like Gazprom and stuff, but still.
Yeah, right. Who controls the Russian energy company? Who controls the Russian resources? That's the question. They don't have Chevron over there, right? It's not Exxon and Chevron and every wildcatter on earth.
It's Gazprom.
Right. Exactly.
Well, but, you know, one of the things that I think about with Russia is, number one, if Russia wants to do something with Bitcoin that is going to help them, there's very little that we're going to be able to do about it. Number two, when BRICS had their recent summit, Bitcoin was actually mentioned. So that's hugely important in that I think, you know, they're trying to do something. They're trying to organize themselves. The underlying problem is I can't trust any of you people. And the thing that kind of solves that is Bitcoin. So what would be most interesting is if BRICS starts leaning further and further in that direction, because it's the technological solution. I don't see that happening, because it's just that distrust is going to stop it. But I think Anis Al-Haji has said it several times. You know, if you think that the world doesn't still measure everything in dollars, you're wrong. I mean, if you want to really prove that to yourself, like look at the price of everything relative to gold and oil, and your mind will change.
I'm surprised this conversation has gone on so long without having any comment on Jason Lowry's tweet. I don't know if you can. If you have that handy, Coleman.
I'll grab it right now, Wade. But yeah, I was just going to wait for a lull in the conversation to bring him up. But go ahead, Wade, if you want to start filling everybody in while I find it real quick.
Something about Jason Lowry asking for a friend out there on Twitter about, whether or not or they know of a place that's within commuting distance of, I think it was the Pentagon. So the whole strategic reserve conversation and what other nations are doing, if Jason Lowry is being brought in into the Trump administration in some capacity, it would be pretty interesting. At least we'd have somebody who really understands the technology on our side.
Yeah,
in this new race.
I agree with that, Wade, but I don't think we need Jason Lowry to build a strategic Bitcoin reserve. But what Jason Lowry does understand is that we need onshore hash rate. Like everyone needs to be focused on onshore hash rate. Like think about this as access to a network, access to a system that everyone else will have around the world. And unless we start building onshore hash rate and stay committed to this, we will essentially self-sanction ourselves from the future, you know, information transfer system.
Yep. Mutually assured preservation, right?
I would echo that also on Bitcoin development. you know, pass rate isn't the only thing that matters. Developers matter a lot, and consensus is gained through not only hash rate, but through actual consensus of the use of the code.
No, so I just threw up his post into the nest from last night. So it does sound like he might be looking for a job, or maybe it was implied he'd get a job with the Trump win. And I do think it would be very beneficial for the Trump team to bring him on. His book is very good, and he makes a lot of good points in there. And they could use him in this administration to try to get everything situated and make sure that we're going down the right path when it comes to this. Because I think everybody on here agrees that the hash war is about to start, and so we need to make sure we have someone in our corner.
Would you take him, or would you take someone like Fred Teal?
Is that a serious question?
It is, because I think one person, I mean, I think one person will be heard louder than the other, even though they are. It's just tough for me. I mean, you're still talking about trying to get.
You've lost the plot. I totally disagree.
Why do you say that?
I mean, Fred Teal over a military officer all day, every day, twice on Sunday. I mean, Fred Teal.
Lisa, I don't.
But like,
come Lisa, on. I don't disagree. I don't want to interrupt you, but what I'll say is, like, money talks, and I think he's definitely contributed. I'm not saying that I'm an advocate for it. I'm just saying, look at the money.
From my standpoint,
just to clear this up, I'm a huge Fred Teal fan. I love Marathon. I love what they're doing. I think he's brilliant, but we are talking about warfare. We are not talking about harnessing capital markets. The new system is Bitcoin. It is hash rate. We need to start thinking in hash rate, not in, you know, the financial system, the current financial system. We have turned, last night we turned the page.
I think, I know it's a hypothetical, but in reality, like, it's not going to be one guy, right? So if it's looking for, like, who's going to head this initiative, as long as it's somebody that knows what's going on, and I think either of them would, it's fine, because they'll bring in like the other as an advisor, or as like somebody on like a board that helps handle stuff. So like I would imagine like all the CEOs of, I mean, just think of like how like the Federal Reserve works, all these like banks and stuff get together and conspire and stuff. So hopefully this will be more above board and public and actually in service of the United States versus their own interests. But I think, you know, if Lowry is involved or like heading that up, or as an advisor, a Bitcoin advisor, any of those roles I think are good. And, I think that the actual initiative will be handled by, you know, a group of people. So I think, all of the miners in the United States, like I think that they will happily, join in the conversation. To help ensure that we get like the best result for the United States in terms of Bitcoin mining. So I don't think it's going to be, I think it's good that any of this is happening. And I think that judging from what I've seen, like in terms of who Trump has been bringing next to him and stuff, there's some things that worry me, like Pompeo and stuff, but a lot of the ones I like to see, and it looks like he's got, somebody with a plan, putting some of the good pieces together. So I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's Musk or Vivek or who, but, it looks like there's somebody with a head on their shoulders that's pulling in some of the right people.
So I'm going to say,
play devil's advocate a little bit, Lisa. Like I get your point when you say like, if you're talking about doing this for defensive, national interest reasons, like who better than to have a military officer in there? But as a former military officer, I would say, you know, Lowry might be really great at discussing the hash rate and how it can be used as a form of defense, but what does he understand about special operations tactics and strategy? What does he understand about fifth generation warfare? So like the direction that warfare is going, largely because of things like Bitcoin that can even be used as a form of national defense, warfare changes very dramatically. And you've got a lot of like the information warfare going on. You've got all these other aspects, economic warfare, where you actually, it might make sense to have maybe a more, somebody who understands and can bridge the gap between the transition from TradFi to more of a Bitcoin system, to be one of your quote unquote generals in that fight, if that makes sense.
And I think like Bitcoin does have some like strategic, like defensive, capabilities, you know, just in terms of like secondary systems and stuff, right? Like if you have, the capacity and like these miners and data centers and stuff, you can have some systems, some secondary systems there in case like the primaries are compromised or something. So in like the world of cybersecurity or in like cyber, like nation state cyber threats and stuff, like I think there is some defensive value there. Maybe potentially offensive value too. If you're throwing, compute power at, you know, cracking an adversary's, defenses or something like that. So there's some, strategic capabilities that are afforded there, I think.
This feels like a Superman versus Incredible Hulk conversation, whereas there's going to be a lot of different roles for a lot of different people. And there's, I'm sure to some degree, both the individuals who we talked about, Fred Thiel and Jason Lowry, will have a space to meet their potential in this administration, or at least I hope.
I think,
and a lot of other.
I think you're right, Wade. For diversification, spreading it across equally. My vote, even though we're going to have Marathon joining us tomorrow on the space, I would say that I would not choose Thiel over Jason Lowry. I would have Jason Lowry be the lead, and then I'd make a subcommittee, and I'd have all the U.S.-based mining companies be on that subcommittee, all with an equal vote. And that's how you get it done. I think putting the power of a big company already, Marathon's huge. If you put them at the helm of it, I think it becomes a little too centralized for my liking. That's how I would do it.
But then even beyond that, you've got, if you said that Bitcoin's going to be handled by a single committee, you know, you can have a whole college with the history of the philosophy of the, you know, the language of Bitcoin. So it's going to envelop all aspects of government. So there's going to be a lot of different places, a lot of different roles for a lot of different
people. Oh, no, I agree with that. I just think for like getting the energy, getting the miners hooked up to our energy. I think that's how I would do it. I would have Lowry in charge of hash rate and then have all the, a representative from every US based mining company be on a subcommittee. Just, kind of have consensus over things.
Yeah, I'm really anxious for what's going to happen with this administration with Trump before he opened up Anwar in Alaska and did a whole lot of energy infrastructure for Alaska. So, and then when Biden got in, of course, he crushed all of the gains that Trump had with energy. And then you look at the 10.5 petawatt worth of energy that's sitting up there in stranded gas. And you look at, you onboard somebody like, you know, any of the big mining companies, they're going to have their hands full just trying to keep up with the amount of energy that this state could, you know, drop into the hash rate. So
you're going to have so much energy. You're going to be saying, no, Mr. President, no more.
It's the best energy. It's beautiful. It's the greatest thing ever. The best energy right here. Liquid gold. All in America.
You all need to go have like a 30-minute one-on-one session with Joe Consorti to work on your Trump impersonations.
that's the best I can do right there, right? And in my defense, I may have drank too much last night.
But you did know who we were impersonating, so I think we got it pretty close.
Yeah, that's a win in my book. You know?
Okay, if we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, then yeah, I knew what you guys were talking about. But
really Shane quick, Gillis here, right?
Yeah, Shane's also really good at that, but we don't have a connection with him. We have a connection relationship with Joe. But while we have your attention with the Trumps in the audience, I just want to let you guys, or give a thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Punch Plate, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate at punchplate.com. and Paladin Tower Tactics professional firearms training at paladintowertactics.com. And if you watched the Bitcoin video, last night, we had a little lengthy discussion on how to, say Paladin. It was Paladin, Paladine, Paladin. So Scott, if you're out there, you need to come up here to set us straight. Cause we're giving you a bunch of different ways that you can market your company for, us illiterate, veterans. But also I want to hit on Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. It's going to be an amazing time. I am really looking forward to this. It's the most exciting thing. It's going to be the most exciting trip I'm going to take next year. And so recommend getting there early, coming on the 1st or 2nd of July. There's going to be a lot of pre-event activities taking place. The conference itself takes place on the 5th and 6th. And then definitely we're going to want to spend some time afterwards. So plan accordingly. Hotels are very scarce in Juneau. It's a very small, town. So I would highly recommend if you're thinking about going, go out and book your hotel, right now. Just make sure it's refundable and get that secured. Because you don't want to be, buying tickets and then finding out that you can't, get a place to sleep. So go check it out. I'll put a link up in the nest, but bitcoinalaska.org, get your tickets. It's going to be a great event, and it is family friendly. So make sure you bring your wife, bring your kids, bring the grandmas and grandpas. It's going to be, a really good time. And if Bitcoin price does what it does, I guess we can all bring our girlfriends.
I'd like to add, Coinfather was talking to me last night, and he was saying he was trying to figure out the best way to travel to Juneau, and he's got a longer time, you know, a longer amount of time than he can travel because he's retired. And so I hooked him up with the Alaska Marine Highway schedule where he can drive all the way up to Skagway, Alaska, and drive through Calgary and Banff, Canada, and then his drive up on up to Skagway where the miners hiked up into the Dyea and into the Dyea back in, you know, Skagway was the main town where, Disney put out that, what was it? White Fang. So it's a real small, really beautiful town. It's going to ferry down to Juneau, spend, you know, a couple weeks here and then, ferry all the way down to Bellingham. That's just one option for anybody who wants to drive part of the Alcan at some point in their life. This is a good opportunity.
Yeah, and Calgary and Banff are my old stomping ground. So it's very gorgeous out there, very rugged. I definitely recommend, if you have a chance to go to, go to Banff. It is a really beautiful place. So we're getting to the top of the hour and we really only hit on one of the topics today. I'm going to leave it up to the panels. We have such a large group up here. Do y'all want to hit on one last thing before we start wrapping it up? What's something you want to get off your chest or something you're really looking forward to, something you're frustrated with, anything goes.
Just keep an eye on like the House race. I think that's still up in the air. You mentioned early on that, Republicans secured the Senate. I think House is still in flux. I don't think they've called that yet. And then regardless of what happens, you know, make sure, I forget who said it, but you know, now that Trump has won, we should all be his biggest critic, right? The things that he committed to, a lot of them I think can be done just with the power of the executive pen, you know, and that means that we should see them happen really early. And you know, there should be you know, coordinate as best you can to try to get things moving in the right direction. In the immediate future, like the biggest threat that I see is Pompeo being near Trump. You know, so I'd like to see that, dude cast off into the sea. Yeah.
Is he really being a serious contender for a role in his administration? I know you keep saying it, but I haven't seen anything about it. So
I don't know about a role, but like he was in like the VIP section. Trump called him out for being like great and this and that. So some concern there, you know, I don't know what his role would be. But I just don't like, you know, like you can kind of tell like somebody by who their friends are and he's got a lot that I like, but you know, any neocons near him, I get concerned because they're like, they're like cockroaches, you know, you like there's one in there and then there's 1,000 under the fridge. So, you know, keeping neocons away is, a must.
I'm pretty sure Pompeo's role in Trump's eyes to be like, hey, let me know if the CIA is about to take me out. But Pompeo's actual role is probably to, you know, let the CIA know when it's time to take him out.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
I'm sorry, I stabbed Jordan.
I'm just spreading mis and disinformation. No big deal. I think Lisa had her hand up.
Yeah, just quick, like, let's all just take a moment and shout out Bitcoin Magazine, David Bailey. They played a huge role in getting us to where we are today with Trump. Their team advocated for Trump to come to the conference, which I really think launched Bitcoin on the main stage for many people who were not Bitcoiners prior. Maybe they're still not Bitcoiners today, but shout out to Bitcoin Magazine and their team. Their live stream stuff last night was awesome. I know they haven't slept in days and days, probably weeks. So that's it. That was what my final thought was. Thanks for having us, Coleman. Thanks for always for doing this every day.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for, I really appreciate everybody who comes out, and tunes in every day, seeing the familiar face consistently. It means a lot to me. So thank you guys. Continue coming here. And again, I think we can really say that this bull market is going to start kicking off and kicking off hard. And so remember, you're going to get a lot of people that you've been trying to orange pill over the years, might start reaching out to you again. So give them the benefit of the doubt. Be patient with them. That'll be the biggest thing I start stressing over the coming weeks. Let's just be patient. Again, we all didn't understand it the first time we were exposed to Bitcoin. And if you did, I really applaud you for that. I wish I had given it more serious thought or more serious thought when it was first exposed to me instead of waiting 5 or 6 years. So again, just be patient. Point them to this show. We do this every day, Monday through Friday. And we answer a lot of questions and we take a lot of listener feedback. So if a question, they can shoot us a DM and we'll be more than happy to talk about the subject. Also, we have a lot of good videos and a lot of veterans who are more than happy to help people start their own self-custody journey, which platforms to use. So it's really important that we take our time and make sure we set people up for success and don't rush that process. Take your time and try and keep the frustrations to a minimum, as I'm sure we'll all have it. But like Lisa had said, definitely huge shout out to Bitcoin Magazine and David Bailey. They've been putting in a lot of hard work. They've been doing a lot of, I think a lot of good work for our community. I threw a post up there that David Bailey had posted back in May, where he said that they're drafting a lot of Bitcoin legislation for President Trump, which back then, he said that he believes Trump will sign into law on day one. So hopefully we get some more information on what involved. But overall, I'm extremely bullish. I feel very good about this administration. But make sure that, again, we're holding them accountable. Promises made need to be promises kept. Otherwise, we just recycled a new face into the system. So get out there, talk about Bitcoin, be patient. Have fun, and the next couple of days are going to be pretty exciting. So I want to thank everybody. Thank everybody who joined the panel, everybody who's tuning in, everybody who had us on just in the background to drown out the office voices or the voices in your head. Make sure you do it again tomorrow. We're going to have 3 representatives from Marathon joining us, so it'll be a great show. Tune into that, 10 o'clock Eastern time, and I'll see you all tomorrow. But don't shitcoin. It's like putting a bet on Poly Market today for a Kamala Harris win.
Got him.